Welcome back to the Tone Deaf Hippies. I'm your host, Sulema Wagner, and today I have a special host, my longtime friend.
Hi guys, I'm Ceci. Like she mentioned, we've been friends for a very long time, and I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, this is your second episode, right? Or second podcast that you've done
second,
with me, right?
Yep, second time doing this with you.
Awesome. You liked it?
Yeah, it was. We had a lot of fun last time, just kind of reconnecting and reminiscing. Yes. And this time, I think it's going to be a little different.
We're going to try to stick to the actual...
Yeah, try to stay a little bit more on topic.
Right, to the actual bands and not just reminisce about old days. Well, do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so today we're going to discuss Ed Sheeran, Harry Styles...
And I'll be discussing Shawn Mendes and Justin Bieber.
Yep. And we're going to see that a lot of them, you know, they kind of intertwine and things like that.
Lots of commonalities, yes, between the boys of pop.
Oh, yes. Let me get started with my Ed Sheeran. Oh, my God, my little cutie patootie. I am so in love with him. I have such a crush on him. Seriously, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the glasses or the hair or the tattoo sleeves. Oh, he's so cute. Or the whole, like, you know, composing songs, love songs, right. And right. Playing the guitar. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's
he's
awesome.
Definitely a swooner and a crooner.
Oh, yes. Know. I'm always telling Derek, like, oh, such a crush on him. I was like, but you know what? Dating him is like good and bad, I think. Because
dating
he's in love. Yeah. Oh, if he's in love with you, he can write you a love song and serenade you and come up with the moves that are so smooth and just seriously. But if you cheat on him, as we will get into that whoa, yeah, he will put you on blast. Okay. So it's not good too.
Okay.
He kind of he's friends with Taylor with Taylor Swift. Yeah. That's all I'm gonna say. You know. So Ed Sheeran, he's only 30 years old. He was born in England and in West Yorkshire. His name's Edward Christopher Sheeran, and he kind of came into the spotlight in 2004, so kind of like when we were graduating high school.
Yeah, and I honestly I wouldn't have remembered that back then.
I wasn't really into him then, or I didn't know of him yet.
I hadn't heard of him until maybe a few years ago.
I think I got into him around 2015, I want to say, when they were showing all the videos on YouTube, you know, his music videos.
Okay.
He had this one called The A-Team, and it was about this girl that she's homeless.
Okay.
And then she starts selling her body for heroin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then at the end, she overdoses on heroin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so...
Do you know if that's a true story, or is it just...
You know, I couldn't find a lot of stuff on that. I was trying... When I was doing the research, I was trying to look into that, but I know what, you know, that it's... That's what the story's about, because I've seen the music video.
Okay.
But I didn't really get if... Maybe it was someone he knew, a friend or something. He did say that he wasn't born, like, in the... He was on the wrong side of the tracks kind of guy, you know?
Got
like, it wasn't... It was a rough neighborhood where he grew up. He comes from a really big, Catholic, Irish Catholic family. And,
So, Irish Catholic family, but born in England.
But maybe that's where he gets his red hair.
Yeah, there you
and,
go.
Yeah. But so I don't really know, like I said, if it was someone he knew or anything like that. There are some references, like religious references in some of his older stuff. Like, you know, that on the older music videos too, I think, you know, with his Catholic upbringing. And stuff.
Okay.
But he's really creative. I like how he puts his songs together, and it's like a story. He's always kind of telling
a
story.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because if it's not true, then...
I would think it would be, because most of his songs are always about something that's going on in his life. Yeah,
I feel like, and if it is, and if it isn't, then that's, I think that shows to his creative writing ability.
Mm-hmm.
Because to be able to kind of... write the story,
where his neighborhood is from and everything, maybe it was someone he saw in the neighborhood,
or like inspired by his upbringing and stuff, so I think that would make sense
firsthand, you know, girl that's something like that that was selling her body and overdosed and things like that, you know. So yeah, I agree with that. He's like a storyteller.
Right.
I think that's why I like his songs a lot too. Yeah. Like, he puts the beats to it, but he's telling his story, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, he's very like that about his songs. I know the last song, oh my God, I cannot remember the name of the song right now, but he wrote it for his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Who he ended up marrying his high school girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so awesome. Like, I guess he was saying too that he had done the whole like dating the famous people and in his circles, mm-hmm. and the circles he was running in and stuff. And he just didn't like it. He's just a very down to earth kind of guy. And he did the song. With his buddies that he's still really close to, like buddies he grew up with, and mm-hmm. she's part of that group too, that gang, you know, it was just a group of friends, asked them to be in the music video, so that's kind of when they started like reconnecting again, and he was like, you've been here all along type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
And wrote that song for her, you know, pretty much saying that, you know, like, I'm not gonna let you go this time. Oh my God, it was you know, but yeah, it was really romantic, and the music video too and everything. And they're like really private people. Like, they have a son, and every time they go outside with the baby stroller, like, they cover the baby up and everything. Like, they're very private. He even took a hiatus from social media and like and making records too.
Yeah,
I guess
just to kind of focus on being a dad.
Yeah. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So, let's see. He married the girl in 2019, his high school girlfriend. Have you seen the movie Yesterday?
I have.
You have?
I love that movie.
You know how he makes a cameo in it? I love it.
Oh,
so
he does.
Funny.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I do love that movie. It's so cute.
Yes.
It's so funny.
Yes, it's a really good movie for any Beatles fans
mm-hmm.
out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a tearjerker.
Oh yes. I love that movie. Oh. But yeah, he made a cameo in that.
Right.
Let's see. Oh, you know, he was, when we talk about how I was saying, you know, when he's in love, he writes this amazing love songs that mm-hmm. we have, like, the example for his wife and everything. But then when you are unfaithful to him, then he'll write a song like the movie, the song, I'm sorry, Don't, that he did, what was it? What is that girl's name? Ellie Goulding?
They dated? I know she's a singer.
Yeah, Don't. Ellie Goulding. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's when they were, like, on tour with One Direction. Well, I think One Direction was, like, opening for him or something.
Probably, yeah.
So this is back in 2013, and he was dating Ellie Goulding, and she cheated on him with Niall from One Direction.
Oh.
Like, while on tour and everything. So that whole song is exactly, like, explaining what happened.
Oh, wow.
Hear it, yeah.
Make a note of that.
Exactly.
Listen to it later.
Yes. So,
all the chisme.
All the chisme about Ellie Goulding. But, so, if you do him wrong, then...
then he will make it known.
Yeah, he will put you on blast.
Okay.
Let's see. He's also been in a little bit of trouble, like, for plagiarism accusations.
Oh, wow.
With The Shape of You, the song The Shape of You, they said that it sounded exactly like No Scrubs from TLC. I've tried and tried and tried over again ever since I found this out to kind of picture it while I'm hearing Shape of You. I don't hear it.
Yeah, no.
I don't hear it. But apparently it was close enough that he settled out of court, so maybe... he did?
Maybe at that point it's just easier and less time consuming to just kind of
I don't know. But it happened again, actually, for Thinking Out Loud, the one that he does when it's that slow song, that really romantic song that they're like dancing, kind of like modern dance. Or
oh, yeah, what's that's the like? Music video. It's kind of like a dark room, and mm-hmm. they're just like him and
a guy, and just yeah, him and a girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Like a white flowy dress, and they're doing like this dance.
I feel like you're gonna start acting it out.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yes.
So, Thinking Out Loud. So they say that that one sounded like "Let's Get It On" by Marvin Gaye.
And, oh wow!
Made by Marvin Gaye and Ed Townsend.
And that's a super old school song, mm-hmm. very classic.
Exactly. And okay. I know a lot of artists take, obviously, you have inspiration
from it. Yeah, right.
Exactly. You know, you're gonna listen, you're not gonna make like a reggae album if you only listen to, you know, pop or something.
Then,
or something
then maybe
like
he
that,
would
you
get
know?
Plagiarism effects for trying to copy Shaggy. Who knows?
Right, exactly. So, you know, I don't know how far they have to go or how they, did they have a trial and they're like, I don't even know, to tell you the truth, what a music expert's going to sit there and look at the musical notes.
Well, yeah, I know there's definitely people out there that's like their sole job is to make sure that, you know, there is no plagiarism, no similarities or like it's very minimal and like, that is what they get paid to do. Right. They get paid
to see like what the music notes were for writing the song. Right.
Yeah.
Well, he also settled out of court for that one too. So he's been in trouble twice, I guess. But you know, he's still super popular and has done collaborations with everybody. And I'll just go through the list really quick. Like he's done a collaboration with Everything Has Changed and Endgame with Taylor Swift, who's he's really close friends with.
Mm-hmm.
If I Could with Wiley, Lay It On Me, and Bloodstream with I can't even read my own. Rudy Metal. I can't even read my own writing apparently today. Perfect Duet with Beyonce. River with Eminem, I Don't Care with Justin Bieber, Best Part of Me with Yiba, Antisocial with Travis Scott, South of the Border with Camila Cabello and Cardi B, Take Me Back to London with Stormy, and he says he really wants to do a collaboration with Lady Gaga.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Wouldn't it?
Sorry,
would love
it's off
that.
Topic, but have you seen the Friends reunion?
Yes! Bella and I watched
Lady
it yesterday.
Lady Gaga's performance on that was awesome.
Yes,
I totally didn't expect it, and it was awesome.
I didn't either, and Bella, it threw Bella off too, because she didn't even recognize her when she came in.
No.
She's like, who's that, Mom? And I was like, you really don't recognize Lady Gaga? And she's like, oh, what? And Bella and I are huge Phoebe fans.
Oh,
so we're like, you know, mind blown when it was like Phoebe and Lady Gaga.
Sorry, so, I had to mention that. I know we're not talking about Lady Gaga right now.
Right.
Yeah.
But, well, we did actually. So it
is a side note
compared to Lady Gaga. Yes. See, everything's a full circle with
of course.
Intertwines, like I said. But yeah, so it hasn't stopped him from being popular, apparently, you know, the whole plagiarism accusations, because...
Yeah, I feel like maybe that happens more often than we realize. It's just probably, maybe doesn't come to public,
maybe because
you
he's
know?
So popular that
right,
it comes out
and those
out
songs
for him,
that he
you know?
Was accused of plagiarizing are
so
also very, like, popular,
yeah, popular
so, songs, so...
I get it.
I'm sure it happens way more than we even realize it,
yeah.
And, you know... Big artists like this have legal teams to kind of handle it behind the scenes. So
I would think, like, there's times when, say, I've been listening to Billie Eilish nonstop on the Amazon radio for like a whole day or something, mm-hmm. and then in my head, I'm just kind of humming like any kind of hum or something while I'm doing something, and it kind of feels like it's like a Billie Eilish, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
So it kind of gets
kinda
stuck
put
in
it
your
to the
head
tune,
yeah,
right. Mm-hmm.
So maybe something like that too, if he was listening to those artists at the time and he was inspired by them and everything, and then he's like, oh, you know, I came up with this new beat, but then it sounds very similar,
yeah,
to... What threw me is like the No Scrubs, so he listens to No Scrubs by TLC.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't?
I love that song, though. Right. I love that song. That's my favorite, like, karaoke song.
Yeah.
Seriously. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. What else? Oh, and speaking of karaoke, since I said karaoke, my next one is going to be with Harry Styles, and I guess they're, like, really, really best buds, or as they say it, best mates.
Oh, right.
Yes, mm-hmm. They're best mates. And they love to karaoke together. That's one of their
that's
big things.
That's interesting.
I know. So that's a little fun fact. I guess. But let me see. So I said about the collaborations. I mean, yeah, that's really all I... Oh, you know, in 2017. Spotify named him the number one most streamed artist.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And, yeah, that's about it. You know, he did Love Yourself for Justin Bieber in 2015.
He actually wrote the song.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
He wrote it for Justin Bieber.
That's cool.
So he has not only just done duets with people, he's also written songs
for them,
you know, too. And you know, Justin Bieber apparently uses him a lot for a lot of his songs. That was
yeah.
So oh, a really interesting thing is a connection that he has with Elton John. So Ed Sheeran was nominated at the 2013 Grammys, mm-hmm. and Elton John wanted him to perform at the Grammys, the 2013 Grammys, but at that time he wasn't that popular yet, so the Grammys were like, no, we need someone that has a little bit more popularity, mm-hmm. and just bigger artists or whatever. He was mad, he and Elton John, so he's like, okay, he's going to perform, I'll perform with him. And so he performed with him so that he could
You got Elton John in your corner. You're doing something
I
right.
I know, right? I know. So.
Sir Elton John.
Oh, yes.
Sir Elton John.
Have you seen, now another side note, have you seen that movie Rocketman?
I haven't seen it
yet. Oh, you gotta see it.
I haven't
love
seen
it
yet, but
I love it.
When they were making it, I kept listening to interviews with the actor and... I immediately want to watch it, so I have to make the time to sit down
you
and watch
to,
it.
You have to, yes.
I think for the costumes alone, I'll be in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The costumes are amazing, but the storyline, and then it's not like, say, for example, Bohemian Rhapsody. It was a movie, what you would call a musical biopic. So it was a movie, and then it had, like, the parts of the songs were when they were actually recording, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. when they were playing in a stadium or something, like, mm-hmm. realistic. With Rocket Man, it was like a musical.
Right, that's what I've heard.
Oh,
yeah.
I loved it. It was okay. Like his life fell into place with his songs.
Oh.
It was just amazing. It was like watching, like, say, like, Mamma Mia or something
okay.
like that, you
yeah.
know, some more of a musical
yeah.
than a musical biopic.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, oh, yeah, so you go ahead.
Okay, so shall I talk about Mr. Shawn Mendes?
Yes. He's a cutie patootie, too.
He is.
Dating Camila Cabello.
Camila Cabello. They've been together, I think they've only been together for a few years, but while I was doing my research, I found out that he was actually kind of pursuing her for about 5 years before actually becoming, or having, like he says, having the guts to, like,
to hit on her.
Yeah, to actually do something about it, because they had collaborated once before they started dating, and then they collaborated again on Señorita. But what I learned was that, yeah, he, I guess they toured together when she was in Fifth Harmony. And they were both opening acts for somebody else who I didn't make a note of, obviously a way bigger star at that at that moment, but that he sees kind of more of an introvert, so he would just kind of hang out in his dressing room, and she was like the only person to kind of like hang out with him. So that's when they kind of started forming their bond, and he like kind of immediately found her attractive. But
she's beautiful.
She is. She's really beautiful. I really like them together. I think they're super cute.
Yeah, they are. He needs that Latina spice.
Girl, yes. Huh. Who doesn't?
So, all white boys though, for sure.
But yeah, so from what I read from my research is, yeah, they were friends for a few years, and then it took him a couple years to kind of realize, like, oh, wait, I actually do have, like, romantic feelings for her. It's not just, like, I care about her as a friend. Mm-hmm. And then he finally decided to kind of do something about it. And they had been interviewed together a lot because, you know, they were going on tour and they had a couple of songs together. And it was kind of like the chemistry was impalpable, like everybody was already rumoring it, and they were just like, well, you know, what do we do? And so they finally decided to come out public with the relationship. And I mean, like I said, I think they're super cute.
I know
they seem to be working out, and from my research, he moved to Miami with her for quarantine, so he's living with her for like the past year.
Did you see that show that they were playing either on Hulu? Was it on Hulu? Right at the beginning of quarantine, that all the artists kind of did a concert from their home. Mm-hmm. And she did, I think she did Señorita. I think it was Señorita that maybe she did. And he was there next to her. Yeah. And then he looked all scruffy. His hair was super long and everything.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely letting his hair grow, quarantine hair. I think that happened to a lot of men in the last year. But yeah,
I think it's
so
sexy, though.
It suits him. Yeah. It suits him. It definitely suits him. But yeah, so with him, he was born in Pickering, Canada, which is like a smaller town outside of Ontario. Mm-hmm. And he is from Portuguese descent, which is where the name Mendes comes from. So he's constantly getting asked if he speaks Spanish or any other language. And so he's like, nope, sorry. Disappoint. Like, not French Canadian.
Right.
No Spanish speaking, just English. And I think in one of the interviews, he mentioned like one or two words that he knows in Spanish that I guess he learned on tour just to kind of survive. You know?
To shut everyone up.
And he actually got started or got discovered off of YouTube and Vine. So he used to just kind of do covers on YouTube and upload them, and he's just like, I never really thought it was gonna go anywhere. I never really kind of wanted it to go anywhere. In one of the interviews that I watched, he actually said that he more so wanted to be an actor than a musician. Yeah, so he has done a couple of acting roles.
What is it?
Nothing too big. No. I think he was like on a CSI.
Oh, okay.
Episode where he actually played a musician, so it was kind of like very easy. I'm sure it came very easy to him. Mm-hmm. He actually did some modeling as well, because, you know, hello, have you seen him?
Yeah, right. He is hot.
But and he did a runway for, like, this huge designer who, again, I didn't make a note of. But he was just like, he's very introverted, you know, like even in his interviews, like you can kind of tell that he's a little shy about certain things and kind of opening up. So when he does like the modeling shots for like magazine spreads or whatever, he has to channel like an inner persona that he created, because he's just like, no, you know, I wanted to be an actor, so this is how I'm going to take it. Like, I'm playing a role, and this guy's a model, and, you know, he has the sultry eyes, and so, and I think it works for him, because, I mean, if you've seen the pictures that he's been taking, like, they work, and he has a name, he has a name for his little persona.
Huh.
Yeah, and of course, I didn't write it down, but...
Well, if it's anyone out there knows Shawn Mendes.
Yeah, it's like an Italian name, and he has like a little background, sexy. Like a little character background for him and everything. So I found that funny, and I really liked that about him while I was kind of watching these videos and learning about him, is like he just seems so humble and down to earth, and like he just seems like he's a good guy overall, you know. Mm-hmm. He's really close to his mom. He finally moved out of his, like, home into, like, his own house. Because he got discovered when he was, like, 15.
Mm-hmm.
So he finally moved out of his house when he was, like, 18 or 19. And he's just like, yeah, and my mom still comes over and, like, does my laundry and cleans my house. So
I think that's another thing we have in common with all the guys that we're talking about today, is that they're all kind of... Well, Justin Bieber, maybe he's a little bit of a diva, but everyone else is kind of down to earth and still close to their mom.
Yeah, yeah, like, I mean, well, Justin Bieber's still very close to his mom.
Yeah, he is, huh?
Yeah, definitely very close to his mom, but when...
Religious.
Yeah, Justin Bieber's super religious.
Mm-hmm.
But with Sean, like, he, one of his, I think it was his very first tattoo, because I think he only has, like, 5 or 6, a couple small ones on his arms. He got a matching tattoo with his mom.
Oh my god, I love that.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
That was another little endearing fact.
That's
cute. Little endearing
fun
fact about Shawn Mendes there.
That's so cute.
But yeah, he got discovered at 15. Somebody found his video on YouTube, or I think one of his vines went viral. Vine, by the way, is what TikTok is now. It's, you know, a little 6-second video.
Yeah.
But yeah, that happened like in 2013 maybe.
Those,
because
didn't
his
last long though. Vine didn't really last.
No,
really,
I think
long.
it kind of got
did it get bought by TikTok?
No,
TikTok used to be something else, right?
No, I think because Twitter and Vine were together.
Oh.
They were, I think, owned by the same person. And then I think somebody bought out Vine. I think, I want to say it was Instagram.
Oh,
you know,
maybe.
But who knows?
But he got discovered there. And
he got discovered there. One of his little vines went viral. But yeah, this kid is super young. But
how old is he?
He was born in 1998, so he's not even, like, 25 yet.
How old is Camila Cabello, then? Is she older?
I think she might be a little older than him.
Ooh,
I didn't.
Older woman.
I didn't research her. I was actually trying to stay away from the videos
on
her.
I really thought they were around the same age.
Yeah. But yeah, he said he wanted to be an actor more than he wanted to be a musician.
Mm-hmm.
Another little fun fact is that he hates tomatoes.
Oh, dear.
Little fun fact, though. There you go. He hates tomatoes for some reason. I think it's a texture thing, but they literally I watched an entire interview about him talking about how much he hates tomatoes.
Oh my gosh. That's hating tomatoes.
Yes. Yeah, his biggest fear is deep water, which is understandable.
Yes.
You know, he's like, just being in deep water, being out on a boat, and like not being able to get out, whatever, like that's super scary, and I completely agree.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very interesting, because his last video for his latest song, Wonder, is shot as if he's kind of drowning in the ocean. So Maybe
that's why he did that.
I found it really interesting that maybe he kind of did that to kind of conquer his fear,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah, his first album was released in 2014. He did release an album last year, so he was working on it during the pandemic while mm-hmm. being quarantined with his lovely girlfriend, mm-hmm. Who inspires, I think, most of his songs. And another thing that I learned about him that I really liked is he's very open, and he's become kind of an advocate for mental health. So awesome. He suffers.
I love when they do that.
He suffers from a lot of anxiety, which I think a lot of artists do.
Yes.
But mm-hmm. not a lot of them are willing to openly talk about it.
And that sucks. I think everybody should talk about mental health.
Mental health and anxiety is a lot more common than people, I think people realize.
And they need to end
it.
The stigma against
Absolutely.
It. Or against getting help and going to a therapist or something
Absolutely.
Like that.
And I think that's where he went. He's like, honestly, I was terrified of, because that song, In My Blood, is actually about his personal anxiety.
Really?
Yeah. And he's
I'm
like,
tell Bella that she loves that song.
He's like, it was really nerve wracking for me to release that song. I didn't know what people were gonna think, and I'm literally putting myself out there.
Oh wow!
But at the end of the day, I realized like, well, if this song makes it big, then it's gonna be raising awareness, and I get to go and talk about this. So
I'm serious. I'm gonna tell my daughter is a huge. Huge Shawn Mendes friend. Yeah, she like when I told her I was gonna do this mm-hmm. episode, she was so excited, and I was like, "Help me out. Do you know any?"
I know you should have done the episode with her.
And she was like,
"That would have been cute."
So nervous though. Aww. She doesn't. Yeah, but I'm gonna explain it to her that he does too.
Yeah,
that he gets nervous. She hates talking to people. Like that is her biggest thing. That she's not like me in that sense at all. She hates it. She hates going to Starbucks. She makes me order her drinks. And I'm like, honey, they're just people. You could just talk,
right.
You know? So
that's funny.
Awesome that he's getting behind that. I think everybody should be like, it's not a bad thing.
No.
You know, people have difficulties. No one knows what anyone is ever going through.
They
can put on a brave face or whatever. And
yeah.
Be falling apart on the inside, you know?
Yeah,
so,
no.
That's awesome that he does that.
I
like when they do that.
He did mention that, and he talks very openly about it. Overall, like, I think he seems like a really cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy a lot of his songs. I feel like they're mm-hmm. very well put together. He writes them all. He has, like, a huge guitar collection.
Oh, wow.
Huge guitar
I love
collection.
That.
A few artists have, like, gifted him guitars.
Mm.
But, you know, he's just like, yeah, it's one of those things that's probably never going to go away because he continues to buy
Who
more
cares?
Guitars.
Yeah,
you know?
I would never want that to go away. That's awesome.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it's one of his tools. Mm-hmm. And I think that...
And even just looking at it, even if he never touches one of them or something because it was somebody else's, you
Imagine,
know.
Like, having a whole little guitar museum in your home.
Oh.
I'm sure that's what he has because I think he has. He mentioned, I don't even know how many he has, but a ridiculous amount of guitars, acoustic, electric, like, wooden, like, all kinds of different.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you see, my house is kind of like a little museum everywhere and stuff. I'm all for that and stuff. We went to, and really sorry to interrupt, really quick side note, we had gone to the LACMA Museum for Mother's Day. And one in one of the art pieces that, this guy did was all the album covers, LP covers, an entire wall, like just huge covered floor to ceiling.
Oh, wow.
Of all these album covers, just amazing, you know? And then you think about it, they are little pieces of art.
Absolutely.
You know? They're beautiful. Some of the art covers out there are just like, you know, and a lot of kids nowadays are not going to know that, you know, they're not going to know that wasn't even our time frame. Unfortunately, ours was like CDs.
Right. But I mean,
you know,
so, well, personally, I remember and like loving to go, oh, wow, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. We're showing her the picture right now. So
that is great.
Isn't that cool?
That's huge.
Yes, it was beautiful. So you guys go to LACMA Museum, check it out. It's it's oh my god, I can't remember the artist's name right now. He's from Japan. It was amazing though. His stuff was amazing. A lot of stuff kind of reminded me of like anime, like Japanese anime and stuff. Yeah. But that wall, I fell in love with. Yeah. I was like, oh my god, I want to do that in the music room. You know, like discover it.
I mean, I know there's still some avid vinyl collectors out there. My nephew's one of them.
I mean, I'm just starting my collection. Yeah. Mine is very small, but I love going to thrift stores and finding
it's kind of fun to kind of dig through the bins. Exactly. Yes. And get excited over, like, an older artist. And then there's newer artists who appreciate vinyl and the way that it sounds.
Oh, and I'll talk about that then.
They're now releasing kind of limited edition vinyl records. So that's something that I really appreciate from kind of more modern artists.
Yes.
Because like you were saying, like we didn't grow up with album covers or like records and stuff, but we did have the CDs. And I know for me, like I used to love getting the CD and flipping through the book like reading the lyrics and like reading the notes, because sometimes they were very detailed and they would have like the backstory of certain songs and then like the thank yous. Because of, you know, whatever inspired the album or the songs or whatever. So that's something that I always kind of looked forward to when a new record was coming out, like going to the store and picking it out and maybe grabbing two or three of them because there was like new release day and, you know, there was two or three albums that I was waiting for. And then, just even looking through the art because they would go and have like specific like photo shoots and like the art direction of everything and...
So. Some of them were just out there, even for the 90s and stuff. You know,
and even like, now, it still happens. It's just, it happens in a different way. Like, now it's not a tangible, like, hard copy of the book, but, like, there's a bunch of artists who release things in a certain aesthetic because it matches the new album and matches whatever else. And that's kind of the same feeling that I would get from, you know, flipping.
But they should put that back in the albums and
I'm sure
they
do.
I don't know if people are still buying CDs.
And that's the thing, I'm sure they do, but I don't buy CDs anymore. Like I still have all my old ones.
Everything's on streaming. Yeah, I've kept my old CDs.
I still have all my old ones, but I can't remember the last time I actually bought an actual CD.
Me neither.
So that's what I have.
Do you buy any albums yourself?
I don't. I haven't been collecting any vinyl yet. That is something that I want to get into. But I don't have a record player. So at this point, I do have a couple of collectible vinyls. I actually got to meet Green Day. About 10 years ago.
Oh my god, when
I was working for Hot Topic, they did a signing at the Hollywood store and I was working the event. So I got to meet them and I bought a vinyl record there at the store and I had them sign it, so that's sitting on my wall.
Oh my god.
So and
did
I have that
one. Did you get pictures with them too?
I probably did. I don't remember if I have any on hand, but recently, like, one of these, you know, chicks that I follow on Instagram is, like, a diehard Green Day fan, and she's way younger than you and I even are, so, like, to her, they're probably, you know, what the Beatles are to us.
Right? Oh, yeah, they call it vintage music.
I've
heard Bella say it.
That's vintage.
I'm listening to Britney Spears, it's vintage.
I'm like, no. But anywho, she had kind of posted, like, a throwback picture of an event, and, like, looking at the trending, so I'm like, oh, my god.
I was there.
I was working that event, and she was probably, like, 10 years old, and so super excited to see Green Day, and I'm just like, look at me. So I do have that one, and then I have a limited edition Tragic Kingdom album that...
Oh, my God, that is my favorite album of, like, the from the pictures and everything. Yeah, yeah. Everything. Oh, my God.
And it's... And it also, of course, has a lot of sentimental value to me because that is one of the first albums that, like, I fell in love with.
Yeah.
And I have so many memories attached to that album. So those are the two records that I actually own, and they're both on display on my wall in my room.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And sorry we got off
track. Yeah, no worries.
Shawn
Mendes,
but no, I agree. Maybe Shawn Mendes, here, if you're listening to our podcast.
Oh, yes.
Yes, maybe you should get on that. Include more things of behind the scenes and why you wrote what song and what was your inspiration and things like that. We need to bring that back.
Yeah, no, but like I'm saying, maybe it is something that they do and we just don't see it because we don't actually purchase the albums.
I think now they do it more social media. Absolutely, too. Yeah. Like, you know, they're very open. Some artists are very open. They even have like a text message number. Oh, yeah, yeah. That you could text them, supposedly. And it's probably their PR people handling it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's more social media. We had it more like in paper and everything. Like it was like how you said it, just that exciting, pulling off the like plastic. Off
yeah,
here.
And I remember like trying to be careful and not to rip off the little plastic label that kept it closed.
I had a system. I would always take it off like from the bottom. And put it on the spine. Right? Yeah, put it on the spine and then. Pull it off, kind of like.
Oh yeah, you know take what off I mean? The actual cover from the sides.
Yes.
So that you didn't rip off the little.
The little label, and then you would take off the label carefully. Oh my god.
I'm pretty sure we did that together countless amount of times.
Sure we did. Yeah, I'm sure we did.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Well, then let me get started on mine. Okay. My next one is Harry Styles, and all these mates are kind of gonna. Me together and I don't know, some are collaborations, some are just because they're friends,
right?
Some are because they did a collaboration with their girlfriend, you know, type of thing,
right?
So.
Right, yeah.
But Harry Styles, he is only 27 years old. He's a little youngster.
Mm-hmm.
Born February 1st, 1994. He started in the One Direction boy band.
Yep.
And that boy band came out of X Factor by Simon Cowell. Mm-hmm.
It was
British X Factor. And at the time, he was going to compete by himself. And that's how he initially got on. He did Isn't She Lovely. Got on. And then Simon Cowell came up with this idea, like, mid-season or something like that. Like, let's get this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy, put them together and make a band.
Oh.
You know. And actually, Harry Styles, he claims that he's the one that came up with the name, One Direction. And they actually came in third place at the finals or finale or whatever you want to call it. That was in July 2010.
Okay.
So then after that, they started getting really, really popular, especially with their song, what was that song? I was obsessed. Oh, What Makes You Beautiful. I was obsessed with that song. I'm not even going to lie. I was like, it was my secret or guilty pleasure, I should say.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's
like.
What makes you beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay,
uh-huh.
I got you. I know what you're talking about now.
But maybe now that I look back at it, it was just because I was meant to like Harry Styles. Because I love Harry Styles. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's
so
funny.
Much. I really do. And so him was, like, his stuff was the easiest to do because.
You were already obsessed with him.
Yes. It's the same with Ed Sheeran. He feels like, I feel like he's a bunch of different artists all rolled into one. Mm-hmm. Like, he has a very, even though he's only 27 years old, he has a very soulful voice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he's seen stuff or gone through some stuff, you know? And
right.
He's 27. But he has, like, that deep voice. I don't know. I'm a sucker for deep voices.
Right.
And he has that voice that he's, like, he can do, like, a jazzy kind of bluesy song. And you would be, like, crying at the end of it. You know, type of thing. I don't know. At least that. But then he could turn around and do something like Watermelon Sugar, you know.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah.
Which... So he's like, he's very versatile. Mm-hmm. And he, so, okay. Golden, for example, gives me very 80s Miami Vice vibes. It does. Okay. Like, that song, Golden. And then Watermelon Sugar, it kind of has, like, soul 70s soft punk.
Okay, I see that.
Soft funk. Sorry.
I see that.
You know, like, 70s soft funk. And then Signs of the Times, Derek says it sounds to him like kind of Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Oh.
To me, it kind of sounds like Rocky Horror Picture Show, kind of. It does. But, like, okay. At the end, you know, the last song that they're doing when they're kind of going away into the spaceships or whatever. Yes. You know, like that very eerie, soft, Transylvania kind of old. I don't know. But that's what it reminds me of. So he's very versatile. He's like all over the place, but I love it. Fits them all.
Right.
All of them.
I think that's a really good skill to have as an artist.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. But so, and he was still in the band when he was doing already like all these creative things. Like he wrote Just a Little Bit of Your Heart for Ariana Grande while he was still in One Direction.
Okay.
And so he was already trying to get his own thing going and be a solo artist. He officially went solo in 2017 with his debut album. It was released in May 2017, actually. And they kind of classified it as 1970s soft rock kind of
feel
to
it.
He's best friends with Ed Sheeran, like I said, best mates. And actually, even before they became famous, they knew each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Before they were both famous.
Interesting.
They did tour, so they got even closer to, like I said, and that's around the time that the whole fiasco thing with Ellie Goulding was going on.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, I did find it kind of weird when you mentioned that they were best friends, because, like, it was his bandmate that supposedly cheated
Maybe that's how
girlfriend.
He found out. Who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe
wow.
Harry told him. He's like, hey, mate.
Hey, mate. Don't make me do a really bad English accent on this podcast. It will
live
on the internet forever.
I know.
I'm not going to do that. But yeah, maybe that was how he proved his loyalty to his friend. So who knows? I guess we'll have to ask. We'll have to ask Ed Sheeran next time we see him.
Yes, I know. We got to make a note of that. Okay. Yeah. We got to remember on our things to ask Ed.
I love that.
They do have kind of like a matching tattoo situation going on. That's fun fact. Ed Sheeran and Harry Styles, they're not really like matching tattoos, but here's the thing. Okay, so they both really like this cartoon called Pingu. It's a cartoon that plays in the UK or something.
Okay.
It was running through 1995 through 2006.
Oh, wow.
And it's about a penguin or something, I think. So all you people out there are listening to us in the UK, because I know I have listeners in the UK.
Okay.
Shout out. If you guys want to tell me more about that, the Pingu, and I hope I'm saying it correctly. If not, I apologize. But, yeah, just let me know. So, apparently, they are both fans of this cartoon. So, one night, they were both really, really drunk. And Ed came up with this idea. And he's like, hey, let's go get tattoos. And he's like, sure, let's go. So, Ed got a tattoo of the penguin, the actual penguin, that was drawn by Harry Styles.
Oh.
And Harry Styles wrote the name Pingu in his writing, and it was tattooed on Ed Sheeran.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe I got it vice versa.
Then this reminds me of something that I listened to, too. I want to say this whole getting drunk and getting tattoos thing with Ed Sheeran might be a trend. Because I want to say Shawn Mendes had a similar story.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah. Because they, you know.
Is one he of, like the get drunk and one of the tattoo guy? I so want to meet him. Ed. Yes. I'm writing that on my things to ask Ed.
Because I want to say that Shawn Mendes had a similar story because somebody was asking him about all the tattoos and what they meant, blah, blah, blah. And that was one of, I think he has a number 8 tattooed on his finger. Because he was born on August 8th of 1998. So the number 8 has like a significant.
That's my lucky number too.
Yeah, it has like a significant, like a significance to him, you know? Uh-huh. But it was like, that's pretty all that he said, but he kind of seemed.
Like hinted it?
Yeah, he kind of seemed shy about it when he was talking about it. But then he also said something of like, see, this is why you don't get tattooed when you're drunk. And then that kind of went into a story. And I want to say it sounds really familiar that I heard maybe. Him talking about. Like, oh, you know, we were hanging out. Maybe. Not really recording because I think Sean and Ed have a song together too. So I don't think that they were collaborating. Then I think they were just kind of hanging out and jamming or whatever. And he's like, you know, there was, you know, some influences involved.
Oh,
and,
yes.
You know, now next I want to meet him
even more. I want to get drunk with Ed Sheeran now.
Next thing you know, he has a new tattoo.
You're listening to my podcast, hit me up. I want to get drunk with you, buddy.
And get tattoos.
We could go to a pub and then we could go to get tattoos.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
I think it's
in the plans.
Yeah.
Apparently. No.
It's good. So, wow. Yeah, that sounds awesome if he's a getting drunk tattooed guy.
And you know, excuse me.
I wish we had one of those friends.
I don't. I would be covered in a bunch of meaningless crap. But yeah, so I think that like that kind of took me by surprise when you're talking about Ed Sheeran that way, because I like looking at him and I don't know a lot about him, you know, obviously previous to this.
Unlike me.
Right. Like, I didn't know much about him. I know a few of his songs. But I find it kind of funny and surprising, but like pleasantly surprised, because I always thought he was just like a really dorky guy. Which is totally cool.
Really? I've heard that before by other people. Which is totally. You're such a nerd. I think it's the glasses that throw up people.
Which is fine, because I love dorks and I love nerds, and I can geek out with the best of them. But
I think he's maybe one of those cool nerds, you know?
I'm not a regular nerd. I'm a cool nerd.
Yeah, I think he's like a cool nerd. Like me. He needs his prescription glasses, you know?
Definitely need prescription glasses, yes.
You know, and he's not going to do drugs with you and everything, but he'll write you a kick-ass song and get drunk
and get some funny tattoos. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. That's a cool nerd.
So anyway, go ahead, talk about Harry Styles. Because
apparently Harry Styles and Ed Sheeran like to build Legos together a lot. So
see, that's where the nerdiness and the dorkiness comes back into play.
They like I guess that's it. I think. Oh, we didn't even do Justin Bieber.
Well, Justin Bieber.
What do you have to say about Justin Bieber?
Justin Bieber has had a pretty lengthy career, very similar to Shawn Mendes, also from Canada.
I was obsessed with him when he came out with his song "Baby, Baby."
That was his first hit song, which was like in 2009.
Baby. Yeah.
Also got discovered off Bieber here. Oh yeah, with the little. You know he. When he first cut off his signature locks, he auctioned off the hair.
He did?
Yeah, he auctioned off the hair, like, on eBay or something, and then donated all the proceeds to charity. But, like...
How much was it?
I want to say the highest bid was, like, over $40,000 for a piece of his hair.
You could clone him, though.
That's right.
Hey.
But do you really want more Justin Bieber turning around in this world?
If you could have your own personal Justin Bieber with that body that voice, I would.
I'm a fan of his
person. I think he's sexy. No, I don't know about
like, of
his
person.
No, that's true. If he does turn out to be exactly like Bieber, then
I'm not a big fan of his person. A few of his songs are pretty catchy, and that's about as far as it goes with me being a Justin Bieber fan. But yeah.
And then what I don't get is he's so religious, especially after he married Hailey Baldwin and stuff. But it's like, well.
And, you know, and I feel like I was, like, I kind of started watching this documentary that he released on YouTube. And I think, you know, he may be not to blame all entirely because he did get really famous really, really young.
Really fast.
So he doesn't know necessarily how to react. So he was talking about it very candidly in one of his documentaries. Like, you know, like I had people around me all the time and yet I still felt completely alone, and that's like where the song Lonely that he just released last year came from, and it talks about that. And if you watch the video, it's an actor playing him when he became famous in 2009, and so it's kind of like an outsider's point of view, and that's what he talks about, you know. So he's like, I didn't know how to react to certain things, and like now kind of in retrospect, I see that the way that I act now and the behaviors, you know, that I have now are a reflection of the kind of the upbringing. Because he was still a kid. He was only 14 when he got discovered. You know, it's just like, imagine you say that Bella is super, super shy at this point, and this kid obviously wasn't, but he's also being kind of forced to be this big kind of person and be in front of, like, millions of people's eyes. Kind of from
and going through puberty
and and kind of going from one day to the next, you know,
with just his voice changing and everything, you know. So,
but yeah, he's also from Canada. He's about 4 years older than Shawn Mendes.
Okay.
They've also collaborated, I think, on a couple of different songs. He also has a ton of tattoos. I don't think he's ever gotten drunk and gone one with Ed Sheeran. I don't think I ever saw that. But who knows? Because they've also collaborated, so who knows? Maybe it has happened. But he's won a few Grammys. He's won a total of 286 awards total.
Wow.
Between, like, AMAs, Billboards, like, Nickelodeon, like, all bunch of different stuff.
Oh,
but,
wow.
He actually has won a Grammy versus, like, Shawn Mendes hasn't won a Grammy, which I'm surprised because I feel like he's...
He's getting there.
Way better musician, but I could be a little biased.
No, it's not only that. It's just that Bieber is also, like, what the company kind of
He has a better production company with him, he was born on March 1st in 1994. He first released his first album in 2009. The song Sorry that he released in 2015, which is actually one of the songs of his that I actually like, his biggest song ever.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that song, yeah.
And he did collaborate with Ed Sheeran on the song called I Don't Care. He, one of his very first songs,
Ed Sheeran also writes some of his songs too.
Yeah, I'm sure. Cause I think that's one of the biggest difference between like the artists that you were mentioning versus Justin Bieber. Like, I feel like he's a performer. He's a singer.
He's not really a songwriter.
You know, I feel like a lot of, but maybe now as he's getting older, a lot of it is inspired by his life, but I don't think he's really written a lot of his own songs.
I don't think so either.
That's never really come up in any of the interviews that I was watching. One of his mentors to this day is Will Smith.
Really?
And, you know, they talk...
That's a fun fact, because we didn't know anything.
They talk regularly at least once or twice a week. And then kind of going full circle, he did a song with Jaden Smith, who's Will Smith's son. So when Jaden was a kid, he was featured on one of Justin's songs. So I think that that kind of, again, goes full circle and why maybe they have the relationship that they do. But he also has a clothing line called Drew or House of Drew or something like that, which is his middle name, actually. So apparently he had trademarked House of Drew, the name Drew, and I don't want to have a really terrible French accent, but like Maison de Drew or something like that, because that's House of Drew in French, which he is fluent in because he is French-Canadian. So he had trademarked them, but didn't really do anything with it for like a few years. And I think he was just kind of sporting stuff. kind of himself, yeah, and it started kind of creating a buzz, yeah. And then he ended up releasing cheap hotel slippers because he is obsessed with hotel
they
slippers.
They actually look really nice.
He was selling them for $5 a pair. Mm-hmm. And they sold out, like, almost instantly. So I think that has a lot to do with just, like, his
following,
right? Yeah, his following, you know?
It's like when you want to get the Bad Bunny Crocs, you know? It's
yeah,
because
no.
It's Bad Bunny.
Yeah, no,
know?
I'm not.
No, but I'm saying right. The fans of yeah, Bad no, Bunny, me, yeah. You know? Like, they want to get it because they're fans of Bad Bunny.
Right, and I mean, you're buying it just a Bieber product that only costs $5. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know that's going to be worth something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would be why I buy them, mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, I feel like he is being a lot more open also about his mental health and growing up as a
child. Yeah, he is. He's growing
up. As a child star. And, like, now that he's in his later 20s, then he, you know, he's married. He's talking about having kids. He's very religious. His pastor is, like, one of his best friends. Mm. He considers him a brother. And so I feel like he's kind of maturing in a sense.
Yeah.
And so a lot of his songs are a little bit more heartfelt. And
I think he does get judged a lot on what he used to do. Mm-hmm. But that's when he was growing up and he was a teen and running around toilet papering people's houses in the neighborhood in Brentwood. Mm-hmm. And a horrible neighbor to people, you know, everyone hated Justin Bieber.
Well, that's normal, you know? For
yeah,
a kid.
Yeah, he just had to do it in the spotlight.
Right.
We didn't get to do it, all the bad stuff and shenanigans in front of millions of people and get judged for it.
No,
you know?
We were judged privately.
Exactly. Just how it should be.
Right. Just by our parents. But.
Exactly.
But yeah, so I think that like I said, like a lot of that, he's maturing and I feel like it's very noticeable in his songs.
Yeah.
And he was also talking about, you know, his anxiety, his depression, and how he took breaks in between tours and albums because he was just exhausted mentally and physically at this point. And he did mention in one of the interviews that he was suicidal at some point.
Oh, wow.
He mentioned, like, I think that not feeling this at all is better than, like, what I'm feeling. Like, he just, you know, and it's completely understandable because I feel like you think about certain things that you're going through and just like, I don't want to feel this anymore. But, you know, luckily we get over it. But in some cases, our artists don't, you know, they don't know how to cope with it. So I think that it's healthy that they're talking about their mental health and the effects that their lifestyle has on them, because I don't think that's something that, as a layperson, as a fan, we kind of realize, you know?
Yeah, we just think they're, like, perfect all the time or something. So I get it.
But I mean, I think that kind of covers the basics of Justin Bieber, you know? He's super well-known, super... he has all these awards, and, you know, he's kind of one of these overnight success stories, you know.
But has stayed as
And has
success,
stayed, yeah, and obviously, yeah, has stayed a success and has also had a lot of legal trouble with his label and his manager, Scooter Braun, and you mentioned Taylor Swift earlier, you know, and he's also had some legal trouble, like you said, just himself and his person. But yeah, I mean, overall, like, you can't take away the fact that he's a really good singer.
Yeah, he has to have performer. Had talent to still have stayed.
Right, he's a really good performer, and you know,
time.
I hope that this is a turning
I think
stage
so.
For him, so that he can become a better person. Because if he is married, he is planning on having kids, then. I would hope that he wants to be a good example for them.
I don't know. Well, we all did stupid stuff in our youth, you know, so.
Yeah, we sure did.
Well, I had a lot of fun doing these guys. Like, they were all kind of, like I said, down-to-earth guys and just kind of very talented guys in one way or another and close to their moms and stuff. And they seem pretty cool, fun guys. And we gotta have you back again, because this was a lot of fun. So thank you for listening to our podcast today on Ed Sheeran, Harry Styles,
and Shawn Mendes and Justin Bieber.
And I'll let you guys know via social media when we're going to do our next podcast. So stay tuned, okay?
Thanks for having me.
Bye.